I want to say thank you to Amy and the team for all their work this morning. When Amy and me met about 4 weeks ago, maybe a wee bit more than that, we had big plans for today. But the good thing is that even though we don't really feel in control much today, God is. And he knew exactly what was going to happen today. It didn't come as a surprise or a shock to him. So we're going to do what we normally do. We're going to read scripture together. We're going to look at the word. So I want to encourage you, if you've got a Bible, or if you haven't, go and grab one quickly. You'll know that as a church family, we have been going through looking at the life of David, and we're actually going to go back to look at a period just before David was called, and we're going to look at Hannah. And I want to invite you then to turn to 1 Samuel and chapter 1 of that. We're going to read scripture together, and then we're going to look at Hannah. And those first couple of verses, it tells us that Elkanah had two wives. One was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, Elkanah went up from his hometown to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a voice saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." She kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early in the morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, because I asked the Lord for him. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull and an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy Eli and said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask. So now, I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Amen. This is the word of our God. Let's pray together before we just look at this passage. Father, we thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you, Father, that no matter where we are, that you will use your word this morning to speak into hearts and minds. I ask, Father, that your servant be filled with your Holy Spirit and will speak, Father, what you give and what you give alone. So close us in with yourself, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to look at my life, I would say that over the years, I have had three mums. I have the mum who gave birth to me, and from her I got all sorts of different teachings along the way. Some of you will know her. So some of you will know that mum's makeup is always perfect, so you'll know that I didn't really follow that one through. Her hair was always beautifully done, and again, you'll know I didn't exactly follow that one through. Her clothes were always coordinated and the latest fashion. And those of you that know me will know that that's not me either. She was a brilliant cook, one of those women who could put two lettuce leaves in a bowl and make it look fantastic. She can flower arrange, she could do all sorts of things cooking-wise, bake breads. And I didn't, or I don't, or maybe I just haven't worked on those sort of things that she gave to me. But she did teach me how to paper and to paint. She did teach me how to look after my home. And for all of those things, I am so thankful for. The other one that I would refer to as being a mum was my grandmother. I'd gone to live with her when I was, about 4 or 5 years old. And I lived at home on Monday to Friday while I went to school, and then went home at weekends and holidays. And from my grandmother, I was taught how to care for others, how to care for my neighbours, how to care for my family. She taught me the precious gift of forgiveness, to forgive when parents separated, to forgive when things went wrong in life and folks maybe hurt us along the way. She taught me about keeping the door open, that no matter when breaks or relationships break down, that folks could always come back to you. She taught me much. And the third one would be my Aunt Eleanor. And maybe our roles are a wee bit different. I would say that in the early days we were more like sisters. When I went to live with my grandmother, Eleanor hadn't married, so we shared a room together, and I was, at that stage, 5 years old. Eleanor was in her late 20s, didn't marry until she was in her 30s, so we shared a room, and I know that I drove her bonkers. As many of you children that are watching will know that when you're with an older sister or an older brother, it doesn't always go well. And I was like that to Eleanor. I'm sure there was many times that I totally wound her up. In these latter years, our relationship has changed. Eleanor has been in and out of hospital quite a bit, and as she is a widow with no other children, I'm the main one who would be with her at hospital. And so every time she goes into hospital, we have this conversation with staff, and he'll say, "Are you her daughter?" And I'll say, "No, I'm her niece." And you do that time and time again, until we've got to the stage now, we don't even argue with staff. We just go, yeah, that's the relationship. And you know, it's been lovely, actually, having that relationship with her. Eleanor has been the prayer warrior in our family all of my days. I can remember her praying for me and praying with me and teaching me so many things along that line. She's the one I get my sense of humor from. She's the one who, if there was a gold medal for talking, she would win it. But I'm so thankful for all three of these women in my life, for the things that they've brought, the different things they've brought. And as you and I together share in the service this morning, yes, it's Mother's Day, but there's this lovely thing that every single one of us can share together in remembering our mums, praying for them, maybe remembering those different things that they have done for us. For some of you, I'm conscious that today too will be difficult because you can't get to see your mum. And you'd maybe be able to talk to her on the phone. I know some of you who are maybe watching who have mums who are in nursing homes, you won't be able to have that contact. But we can all pray. And that's one of the brilliant gifts that God gave us. So when I was looking at this passage, I wanted to look at it from the point of view of Hannah and how she prayed. Because I think there are things in this here that Hannah teaches us, whether you're male or female today, there are things that Hannah teaches us about prayer. And just at this verse 9, it was this part where they'd finished eating a meal and Hannah stood up. Hannah, for years, had come to the temple. She had wanted to have a child and hadn't been able to conceive. And it was devastating for her. And this time, Hannah stands up. And we read some things about her prayer because her prayer is passionate. In verse 10, it tells us that she wept much. And part of it was bitterness of soul. And she was distraught. She would have been looked down on within her community because she didn't have a child. And if you can imagine that, and some of you have walked through this journey, you know how Hannah felt. But in later verses, it talks about how, in verse 15, she was deeply troubled and she poured out her soul to the Lord. And when she talks with Eli, she tells him, "I'm praying out of anguish and grief." Hannah prayed with everything that she had. She held nothing back. It wasn't a prayer that maybe we have when we go into Sainsbury's or Tesco's and we're praying, "Lord, let there be a parking space." Or maybe these days it's maybe "let there be pasta or toilet rolls." But she poured everything into this prayer. Hannah longed to have a child. She longed to be a mother. She longed to be the same as all the other women in her community. And so Hannah prays passionately. There are tears. There's a crying out to God. There's a real anguish and a grief. You know, over these past days, maybe that's the way you have been praying. Maybe it's a way you never thought that you could pray. Maybe it's a way that you never thought that you should pray. And yet within you and I, God has created every emotion that's there. And he longs for us to come and talk to him just as Hannah talked to him. To pour out all that she had. So today, when you pray, God will receive your tears. He will receive your troubled soul. He will receive your pouring out of your soul. And he received when you're praying in anguish and grief. God is ready for all of that. But Hannah also prayed a specific prayer. She didn't go to God saying, "I want children. I want 5, 6, 7, 8 children." She went saying, "Lord, I want a son." She was specific in what she was praying for. And maybe over these coming days, more than ever more, that is the sort of prayer that you and I need to be doing. To pray specific prayers for each and every one of our family. Because each one of them find themselves in different circumstances and with different needs. Hannah prayed, "Give me a son." And having prayed her prayer, she left her prayer with God. Verse 18 says that having prayed, having spoken with Eli and reassured him that she wasn't drunk, that what she was doing was praying, it says that she went away, she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Hannah took her prayer and she handed it over to God. It reminded me of years ago of seeing a drama done down in Woodlands Church down in Carrickfergus. And my brother took part in it, and he came in carrying a rucksack, a really heavy rucksack, on his back. And he came to the front of the church and he set it down. And then he knelt and he prayed that these were the things that he was bringing before God. And then as soon as he prayed, he stood up, lifted the rucksack, and struggled out the door. Because if we're honest, that's quite often what we do. We pray to God and we ask him to take these things, but then we lift them up again and carry them. Hannah didn't. Hannah left her prayer before God. And then she stood up, she went, she ate, she trusted God. You and I today need to be trusting God with our prayers. And as we trust him with our prayers and hand those things over to him, then allow the peace of God to descend upon us. 2 weeks ago, I was actually just driving down the Sour Hill Road here, and when the phone call came through, on Bluetooth, by the way, to say that Mum's home had gone on lockdown. I was actually just driving to the home. I hadn't got to see her the week before. And when Karen told me on the phone, "I'm sorry, Eleanor, you can't get in." To be honest, I was devastated. I drove down the car park here. I sat and I cried. And then I prayed. And I prayed that I would hand her over to God and leave her with him. Because at the end of the day, I couldn't protect her. He can. And so I literally felt as if I was just saying, "Here, Lord, I can't do this, but you can." And so I have to be honest and say that as I drove out the gate, I did have such a sense of peace. And so when it came then just last week, when the call came through for Eleanor to say that I couldn't get to the home to see Eleanor, I had to stop and do the same thing. I had to sit down and I wept. But then I had to hand her over to God. There's a possibility I may not see either. There's a possibility, I don't know. None of us know. But I have a peace and a confidence that I have given them to my Heavenly Father, who loves them even more than I love them. And so I've left them with him. As I leave my two older brothers, as I leave my own family, I leave them with God because they are the best hands that I can place my family into. Those are the most important hands that I can place those that I love into. Hannah's prayer was answered, but her prayers for her child didn't stop. She prayed for Samuel before he was born. And his name Samuel, because I asked the Lord for him. And she continues to lay him before God. In verse 22, she says, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord." And then in verse 28, she says, "Now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord." And if you flip over into chapter 2, verse 21, it says this of Samuel. Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. She prayed for a child before he was born. When he was born, she handed him over to God. What are the most precious things for you today, the most precious people in your life today? Today's the day that we pray together For some of you, you'll never maybe have prayed together as a family. Today's a day to start that. Today's maybe a day that maybe even husbands and wives haven't prayed together. Today's a day to start that. Today's a day maybe that you won't get to see your mum, but you'll contact her by phone, or you'll contact her by Skype, or by all these other new names that I'm slowly getting to know and how to work. Maybe in those calls, the best thing, gift that you can give your mum, is to actually pray with her. Pray with her on the phone. Pray with her over Skype. Pray with her whatever way that you can pray with her. But I'm confident of this. As we lay our own families and we lay the church family into the hands of God, that's the best place we can lay them. And I'm confident of this, that as we battle for each other and we lay each other before God, He will answer. He has been answering. He's already been doing incredible things. He is stretching us like He's never stretched us before. He's challenging us like He's never challenged us before. But He's given us a powerful weapon, a weapon of prayer. Use that daily. Use your scriptures daily. Take this time to be able to build into your family life or your individual life a time of reading scripture and prayer. We're going to be putting different things up on the church website for you to go in and either follow or look at. But if you haven't done it yet, then make out a plan. My great nephew Ethan always tells me, Aunt Eleanor, you've got to have a plan. And so that's what I've been doing this week, of setting out a plan of how I'm going to start each day, what I'm going to read, how the day is going to pan out. We can do this. We can do this. God hasn't gone away. He's still here. He's still in control. And even though the storm is all around us, He's with us in the storm. And He's not going to leave us. Be like Hannah. Place those that you love before our God and leave them there in confidence. We're going to pray together, and then Aaron's going to come and sing a ministry piece to us. It is well with my soul. Let's pray together. Father, this was a day that we never imagined coming. And even over these past weeks, Lord, we have heard of the virus creeping closer to us. But we still thought, Lord, that it would never hit Ballymena. We'd never come into our families. So, Lord, I pray that today that you will teach us how to pray for our loved ones. That you will make us passionate people of prayer who will really come before you and really seek after you. I want to thank you, Lord, for my own family, for my church family, for all that you've given to me. And Lord, I lay them before you today, confident, Father, that in you they are in safe hands. In Jesus' name, amen.